On the mountain, in the valley, in the crowded streets, or the empty desert, in our hope, and in our waiting, we are never alone. God is with us.
Merry Christmas, everybody. How's everybody doing? Having a good time? I want to pause right here and say a heartfelt welcome to all those who join us each and every week online, our online campus. So glad to have you here today. Come on, everybody. Let's give a shout out and welcome to those that are here online. So glad you're here. And I hope you guys are enjoying the Christmas season already. Everybody says it's coming quicker this year, coming sooner. Somebody, are we okay? Can you hear me okay? All right. Just getting oriented here. All right. It's upon us. It is upon us. And I don't know if this gives me credit or hurts me, but I'm a bivocational pastor, for those of you that know that or may not know that. And I'm a mailman during the day, and that means I just deliver the mail. Either way, whether it's on Sunday or Monday, I'm just delivering the mail. Don't blame the mailman or give me too much credit either. But it is on. We are working like 12-hour days plus every day. You people need to go to the mall. I'm just telling you right now. Too much online ordering. But no, we're having a great time. I'm so excited about this season and what it brings. It actually brings to us some opportunities this time of the year. We have those opportunities all through the year, but especially this time of year, those opportunities just get accentuated. One of those I hope that you're availing yourself of, and that is that we make and provide for you what we call a acts of kindness card, so that you can give random acts of kindness. So when people are getting upset because they're standing in or sitting in too long of a line at a drive-through, you know, and they're blowing at you to hurry up, and you can just pay for their meal behind you. Show some kindness. Turn it around, right? Or take some donuts into work tomorrow morning. Go by early. Go by. Forget Dunkin' Donuts. I don't care what you say. Krispy Kreme donuts, everybody. Chocolate Creamfield is the greatest donut on the planet. I'm just telling you right now. And in heaven, the hot now light will always be on. So go ahead and just start preparing yourself, and do some random acts of kindness. Those are, cards are available for you there in the lobby. Be sure and get those and avail yourself of those. Another opportunity I want to mention before we jump into the series today, and that is that we have an opportunity that is afforded to us through what we call the legacy offering. That's going to be next Sunday. We've really been promoting this each week because we don't believe that you should be manipulated or do things just out of impulse. I mean, sometimes it's good, you know, to move, you know, kind of in impulsive ways at times when God leads us. But I want to just tell you that I think that our giving should also be intentional. It should, you should have an opportunity to pray and ask God, God, what are you speaking to me? So we want to make sure this is not man-driven, but God-driven, not what we're asking you to do. We're not asking for anything. All we are asking for is that you ask God what he would have you do in our legacy offering. And this is an offering that we are going to give away. So it's an offer. We're going to have the opportunity to bless somebody else. Isn't that great? Have you ever been on the receiving end and you know how that feels? We get the opportunity to do that for somebody else, and it's just going to be awesome. So I want to encourage you to be sure and make plans next Sunday. We'll say more about this next week, but we're going to be giving this away. In fact, we're going to be blessing another church that God's laid on my heart that it's kind of we've got some information. They've been through some things similar to what we've been through this year, some things, and we want to bless them and bring encouragement to their pastor and to that church. And so really excited about that next Sunday on December the 15th. So want to jump right in to this series today. And this series we've titled God With Us, and we're bouncing off of an anchor scripture as we realize that Jesus, he has become what we call theologically, it's the incarnation. He's incarnate. He's become flesh and dwelt among us, and us who follow Christ, this is one of the anchor scriptures really for us that we base our faith on, understanding that Jesus was not just a man, he was God man. He was 100% God, yet he was 100% man. He came, took on the form of human flesh, and dwelt among us so that he could connect us to God. We were disconnected because of sin, but God, the good news is, had a plan to reconnect us through his Son, who stepped into the human race, reached up to heaven and took hold of God's hand, reached down to us, took our hand, and joined us together through what he did on the cross. You can't have Christmas without having Easter, everybody. He wasn't just born, but he died and he rose again and he's coming again. That's good news. And so I want us to look at this scripture today in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. And it's really a scripture we use around Christmas time. And we're going to be really accentuating the Christmas part of this on December the 22nd that you just heard about for our special Easter service. But I want to pick it up in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23 that says, "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." Last week, we talked about this fact that we know in different seasons of our life that we go through, what we discover in every season that we go through, God is with us. And we talked about last week that season called the valley. There's times when we'll go through a valley experience, and we learn that we can enjoy God. While we enjoy God on the mountaintop, we get to know him in the valley. And today we're going to understand that not only that, but we can experience God's presence also in this place called the wilderness. So we're going to talk about the wilderness. Now, the valley and the wilderness are two different places. You might think that kind of sounds similar, but the valley and the wilderness is very different in that a valley usually is not as long-term as a wilderness experience can be. In other words, in the valley, you know, you may be in a low place, but you can kind of look up and see where you need to be. You can see there's a mountain right there, and there's a mountain right there, and I'm in the middle of that, and I'm trying to get there. But when you're in a wilderness, it's a desolate place where you can't see a mountain. And when you look towards the horizon, everything is just barren. It's gone. There's no life form anywhere. It's desolate. You're removed from everything. And as I study this, I discovered that, you know, I think about a wilderness, I think about a desert kind of place. There's like nothing growing. I discovered that it's not just a desert place, but it can actually even be in a forest. It can be a place that really where there's no sign that human touch has went in there. There's no development. It's just kind of no man's land. It's an area that's just void of anything. It's kind of just a desolate area, and it can be very, very tough area. It represents, it's a metaphor for the fact that we have, it's a place where we have trials, where there's hardships, and where sometimes there's long periods of wandering, and we don't know how long it's going to last, and so we're in this place, and we call it a wilderness. And for many of us, just to connect this to our lives today, it may look different for different people. It may be that you're in a job, and you feel like you're stuck in this job, and you're unhappy, and you don't know how long this is going to last, and you don't see a way out, and it seems to be a dead-end job, and you're trying to decide, do I stay in the job, or do I look for another job? It could be that you're just struggling with your finances, and you don't see a way out, and you got debt, and you don't know how you're going to get to any relief in that area of your life, and you're looking at that, wondering if that is a place that, you know, you're ever going to get out of. It can be a wilderness experience. You could be in a temporary place that you're renting, and you don't know whether to buy and what would be your next step, and you're not sure if it should take that step of faith to purchase now. It could be a transition of where you're living and where your situation is, and you don't know whether you're coming or going, and it's just a wilderness kind of experience. It may be that you're dating and you've been dating this guy, and he won't commit, and you're invested now, and you're not sure if this is the one, and do I go on in and continue this relationship, or do I call it quits and look for somebody? I mean, it could just take many different forms, but it can be what we call a wilderness experience. And then those places, sometimes we can feel very alone. We can feel very isolated. We can feel like we're in this all by ourselves. In other words, you may be in a crowded mall. You may be in the hustle and bustle of the Christmas season right now, but yet you feel like personally you just don't know where you are or where it's going or where it's leading, and you find yourself in this wilderness experience. And it can be a very paralyzing place. It can be a place that's very fearful. But what I want us to see that's interesting about the wilderness is that the wilderness often follows the mountaintop. Jesus himself, he had an amazing day where he was baptized by John the Baptist. Remember when his ministry was first launched, and there was a voice from heaven. There was a dove that descended, and it was an amazing moment, and a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And it was a beautiful day, but right after that, we see that the Scripture said that he was led away into the wilderness to be tempted 40 days and 40 nights. Sometimes it seems that there's a mountaintop experience and everything's going our way, and then the next thing you know, things have changed and we find ourselves confused and empty. What I want to show you, though, in those places is that your deepest need becomes a gift when it drives you to depend on God. And there you have message notes in your worship guide if you want to take some notes with me and some fill in the blanks. I'll be sharing those with you. And also, if you're watching online, you can check that out and download those online and follow along with us. But look at this. Your deepest need becomes a gift when it drives you to depend on God. And I want to show you this in the way of a story. There's a guy by the name of Elijah in the Old Testament who was a prophet. And he learned this principle. God had used him in an amazing way, in a massive way, on a mountain, Mount Carmel, to do an amazing thing. But what followed that was that he fell into a place of depression and desperation. It's an amazing story. God amazingly used Elijah in this great victory. There was the prophets of Baal that God used to destroy through Elijah. And Elijah was a tremendous, tremendous prophet. King Ahab had been after him because this prophet, he called for there to be no rain, and there was no rain. And King Ahab didn't like it, and King Ahab was after him for his life, was hunting him down. God protected him supernaturally, fed him by raven. A raven would bring him food. Can you imagine this? Here comes the raven. He's got a McDonald's bag in his mouth. He's every drop, you know. He didn't have, what do they have now, like Uber? Who brings food to you now? I mean, you can, you know, it wasn't Domino, you know, it was just a raven, a bird. God can do that. You know, he took care of him. In the midst of all that he was going through, he God used him amazing. God used him to raise someone from the dead. I mean, just miraculous things. And then there was this challenge on this mountaintop experience between God and the devil, really. It was the false prophets of Baal that were there, and there was a challenge, and God used Elijah to bring fire down from heaven and consume the altar. And then God slew these prophets. An amazing victory. I mean, Hibbs was a man of God. I mean, if I could picture him, I could picture him walking in the room like this, you know. I mean, he's just amazing. He was the man. But King Ahab had a wife named Jezebel who basically looked at her husband and said, when she found out what Elijah had done in killing all these prophets, and she basically said, "If you can't do the job, I will." And she sent word to him that that I'm coming to kill you. I'm going to take your life. And it's interesting because one word from a woman, he ran for his life. He became afraid. I want to look at this scripture in 1 Kings chapter 19. I want you to note, we're going to break some things down here this morning. We see that Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. Interesting. One word of a woman scared the life out of him. And those of men that are laughing, they're laughing because their wife's not sitting beside them right now. Women, you have power. I'm just going to tell you. All it takes is a look. Over Thanksgiving, okay, let me not get sidetracked here. I've been trying to eat right and do right, and over Thanksgiving, you know, it was Thanksgiving, y'all. And I was in Florida eating some food and eating some pecan pie and pumpkin pie, too, with whipped cream on top of it. And I looked over, Kim was giving me the look. I turned to my mother. I said, Mama, I said, Kim's looking at me with judgmental looks. She's judging me, Mama. A woman, afraid of a woman. Look at this. Elijah ran. He was afraid and ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, look at this. He left his servant there. And while he went, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. And when you say a day's journey, where he went to was 100 miles away. So he was running, y'all. He was Forrest Gump. He was running for his life, 100 miles. And it wasn't by Uber, okay? It was on foot. This guy was getting away, and he went into a wilderness. And he left his servant, and he went all by himself. And what he said was this. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. And here's what his word, I have had enough. Can anybody here relate to that? I have had enough. I've had enough. And he said, Lord, he said, take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. I've just had enough. Poor me. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to have a pity party. I've just had enough. Have you ever been there? You know, parents, you had enough with your kids. Don't make me come back there. I've had enough, you know. I've had all I could take. You know, I can endure a lot, but then there's that one thing, that's it, you know. It may be the boss that's at work that's harassing you or whatever. Life just very demanding. You're trying to get ahead financially. The car breaks. The toilet floods. You know, the kid gets a tic-tac stuck somewhere we won't talk about. Your kid swallows a penny. I won't tell you which one did that. You find yourself in the emergency room looking at x-rays. Where is it? Is it in the lungs or is it in the tummy? And we won't talk about what else follows that. Anyhow, life happens. You know, your dinner, you're fixed the Thanksgiving meal, and you've worked hard. You got up early. You've labored over it. You worried about it ahead of time to get everything ready, to get everything just right. The crowd comes in. They eat. They get up, they leave, they don't help you clean up, nothing. I remember my mother-in-law, she used to say, because my father-in-law sometimes, he'd go in like me, you know, when you eat that much, you get sleepy, you know, you just go in, it's over. And she would say, I want to be a Collins man when I come back in the next life, because she just said, I want to, you know. You get to that place where you have just had enough, you can handle a lot, but that one thing pushes you over. Look at this. Here was Elijah. He stood down an evil king, Ahab. He prophesied, and there was a drought because of the consequences of sin. For 3 years, Ahab tried to hunt him down, and God protected him, took care of him. And yet one woman, and he falls apart. But when you look at Elijah, he seemed exhausted, and maybe you can relate. You know, we have a phrase we use a lot. How you doing? Tired. If you're in the South, it's tarred. I'm tarred. How you spell that? T-A-R-D. Tarred. Just tired. You know? But when you really look at things closely, you might discover it's not just physical exhaustion. It may be that we are depleted spiritually. And we may need some physical rest, and actually we're going to talk about that, but it may be that we need some spiritual replenishment. We need to be able to be like David, who says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He said, "He makes me lie down." He restores not just my body, He restores my soul. When I look at the wilderness experience, there's some things that I see. I want you to write some of these down with me. We're going to kind of go down, if you've got your notes there, on the left-hand side first, and then we're going to see how that God can change these things and turn the wilderness into an entirely different experience if we'll allow Him to. First of all, it can become a place of great fear. Elijah was afraid for his life, and he ran and hid himself in the wilderness, a place of great fear. Another thing, we see that he left his servant, and so it also becomes a place of isolation. We isolate ourselves, and it's interesting because that's usually the opposite of what really needs to happen when we're going through something. We need somebody else. We need somebody we can talk to. That's why we have small groups around here, so that you can get in relationship with somebody and have conversation, and iron sharpens iron, and encourage one another, right? Help one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. But when we find ourselves in a wilderness experience, we're isolated. We may be in a crowd, but we're still isolated. And then it becomes a place of loneliness, great loneliness, because you realize that isolation didn't work. It didn't fix anything. It only made it worse, and now you're lonely. Got a crowd around you, but yet still lonely. And then it can lead to a thing called depression, which is what happened to Elijah. He was greatly depressed, and yet he served a God that was so powerful. Somehow in the midst of his situation, he lost sight of that. He became depressed. And while there's a lot of stages that lead to depression, it can be discouragement, despondency that leads to depression. But what happens in that cycle, it leads to this place called defeat, a great defeat. He was defeated. He was ready to die. God, just take my life. I can't take it anymore. But I wanted to show you that in this place, when we turn to God, that thing of fear actually can be a place where we can grow some faith. You don't just grow faith on the mountaintop. You grow faith when you got to exercise it. David said, "I had fainted," or "I had lost heart, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." And notice he said, "unless I had believed to see." In other words, I didn't see it naturally. I'm in a wilderness. I'm looking to the horizon. I see no hope. I see no mountaintop anywhere I can walk towards. I'm just out here. But David said, "Oh, but I had to believe. And if I hadn't believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, I would have fainted. I wouldn't have made it." So it was a place where he had the opportunity to exercise faith. Same thing with Elijah. You got to operate in faith. And then that place of isolation, what we discover, because we're in this series, listen, with this principle that we're learning, and that is that God is with us, so that even when you're in a wilderness experience, guess what? God shows up there. He shows up there. When Jesus was in the wilderness, God was there and showed up by the form of Jesus speaking and defending himself through the Word. You remember? It is written, it is written, it is written, right? Come on, when Hagar was sent out into the wilderness, God heard the cry of the child. That's another whole story for another day, but look it up. God shows up in the wilderness. When we wander through the wilderness, God shows up. He is the oasis in the wilderness. He is there. So we find that we have companionship. We have companionship. God shows us that He is with us. And is that place that He gets very close to us. And then that place of loneliness becomes a place of comfort. Jesus Himself, He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." And He said, "I'm going to the Father, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, who will be a comforter to you. I'm not going to leave you alone." Jesus said, "One thing about this experience, you're never going to have to go through this alone." God is with somebody needs to hear that today. You are not alone. And you may feel like no one knows and nobody cares. But can I tell you, there is one that knows, and He also cares. He's close to you. He's a comforter, right? He's a comforter. And then that depression really can be a place of great renewal. Sometimes we have to get down low before we recognize where our need comes from, where our source of help comes from. And it can be an opportunity for God to come in that place In fact, many times it's where we get away from everything, we're isolated, that now it gets still and it gets quiet from the distractions, and now we have the opportunity for God to come in and renew our spirit in that place. Many times I've went into hospitals where people are in bed, and I pray with them, and I pray, now, God, while they're in this place, speak to them, God. Be close to them. Let them feel the warmth of your embrace. When all the visitors walk out and the doctors and the nurses walk out of the room, God, speak to them. Be close to him. It can be a place of renewal, right? And then that place of death becomes a great place of, or defeat, excuse me, becomes a great place of victory. Well, let me just word it that way. He thought it was going to be a place of death. Elijah thought, God, just kill me. But what he discovered, if you read on in the story, he never did die. You say, what? And no, he never did die. He was actually taken up. That gets on into revelation and prophecy of what's going to happen in the end time. That's another whole story. But read it for yourself. He was taken up in a chariot, and I just think it's hilarious. I just think it's funny. He thought, this is it. It's over. Just kill me. I want to die. And God said, actually, you're going to live for a long time. A long time. I want us to see some things this morning. In the midst of the wilderness, God is with us. And there's some. I want to start with some steps here that of what we need to do when we find ourselves in that place. I want us to see this. First of all, God's word is very practical. Very practical. I want you to write a couple points down here, and then we're going to show it to you in Scripture. Number one, when I'm in that place, I will get adequate rest. And that can be physical, but it can also be spiritual as well. I will get adequate rest. Preaching to myself right now. Number two, I will get proper nutrition and exercise. Sounds like stuff you hear when you go to a doctor, right? Well, the great physician has given us a subscription this morning. Subscription or prescription? Excuse me. Prescription. Help me. I will get adequate rest, and I will get proper nutrition and an exercise. Let me show it to you in Scripture. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. Now, really, that can be a sign of depression. All you want to do is pull the sheet over your head. But also, God can give it to you as a prescription as well, that you may just need some rest. In fact, he put it in his word. It's called the principle of the Sabbath. My wife was the other day, she was saying, I don't know why, I just feel so out of it. I feel so what? And I said, honey, it could be that because we oftentimes violate the principle of the Sabbath, every now and then our body says, whoa, hold up a minute. You know, God put this thing in called the day of rest, and we don't observe that. And then our body says, hello, you're not observing that, right? So sleep is important. And then it says, all at once, angel touched him. An angel came and touched him and said, get up and eat. Get some breakfast in you. Get some food on your stomach. You're discouraged, you're depressed, you're despondent. Eat something. So it's very practical, very practical. You need to eat. And then he looked around, and there was by his head some bread. Come on, there was bagel and cream cheese beside him, I'm just saying. Over hot coals and a jar of water. And he ate and drank, and I love this, and he lay down again. That's a prescription for this afternoon. Okay, recommendation. Sunday, get some rest, lay your head down, get up and eat, and take another nap. I just love God's word. Don't you love God's word? And he laid down again. And notice, God didn't come and preach a sermon. He didn't rebuke Elijah and where's your faith, Elijah? God tells him, get up and eat and go ahead and get you some more rest, right? And sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is rest. You say, well, that doesn't sound very spiritual. Actually, it can be very spiritual. Get some rest. Be still and know that I am God. Rest in your spirit. Not just physically, but rest in your spirit. And know that he is God. Dig a well like we talked about last week. Go back and listen to that last week's. Dig a well. Prepare yourself. Because God's going to speak to you even in that place of the wilderness. Number three, look at this. I will listen to God's voice. Write that down. I will listen to God's voice. So, if you look at Scripture there, it goes on to say in verse 7, the angel of the Lord came back a second time. I love that. Because if you didn't get it the first time, I'm going to come back the second time and the third time, he says, right? Don't you love that? for me, God just has to keep on after me. He's not going to give up on you. He's here today to speak something to you, but if you don't get it this week, he's going to be here next week. He's going to speak to you. He's going to speak to you tomorrow. And look at this. The second time, it touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he's not just going to lay around. He's going to get some exercise. He got some more traveling to do, got some assignment to do. There's some things I want you to do. So he says to get up and drink. And so look what it goes on to say there. So he got up and ate and drank, and it says he was strengthened by that food, and he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Verse 9, he says, there he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him, and he says, what are you doing here, Elijah? If you're in that place called the wilderness, it may be that God, and you're in this place of isolation and loneliness and depression, discouragement, defeat, God may be saying, what are you doing here? Do you not know who I am? Have you lost sight of this thing? Have you lost perspective? And he begins to speak to him. And here's what we need to do. When God speaks, we need to have ears to listen to what he is saying. Listen to God's voice. He said, well, I can't hear God. I love what someone once said, when you can't hear God, read God. God's word speaks. He speaks through his word. Feast on his word. Listen to what God's word is saying to you. And then look what it goes on. It says, I will talk. Number four, write this down. I will talk with God. I will talk with God. So when he asked him the question, he began to have a conversation with God. As whiny as it may sound, he had a conversation with God. He replied, God, I've been very jealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant and torn down your altars and put up your prophets to death with the sword. God, I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. You ever have prayers like that? Y'all looking at me strange, okay? But I have prayers like that. God, Lord, I don't understand. And you find yourself in that place. But here's what he did. He expressed it to God. Can I just tell you, God can handle it, and he's the one to go to. Now, oftentimes we do that conversation with those around us, and they don't have around us what we need. We need to be able to express to God, pour out our heart to God, and have conversation. I word it talk with God. It's called prayer. But sometimes we turn prayer into this formal thing, and God's saying, I just want to talk with you. And that's really what prayer is. Have a conversation with God. And then God meets Elijah and his need. Write this down. Your deepest need becomes a gift when it drives you to depend upon God. I guess you already got that one written down, but you need to write it down again. Your deepest need becomes a gift when it drives you to depend on God. Number five, this is important. When he speaks, we need to obey. I will obey God's word. And again, we're not obeying what our emotions say. We're not obeying reacting to our circumstance and our situation. No matter how long this wilderness is, I'm going to obey God's word. I may feel like running, I may feel like doing different things, but God, I'm going to obey your word. I'm not just going to respond to what pizza I had last night, you know, and just my own thoughts and emotions. So you need to make sure when you listen to God's voice, it agrees with God's word. It doesn't contradict God's word. I'm going to follow what God speaks to my life. And so look what occurred here in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain and in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. And the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. He's not in the fire like the burning bush of Moses. No, he wasn't in the fire here. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. a gentle whisper. And the Lord began to speak to Elijah. What are you doing here? He had to remind him that he had thousands of others that had never bowed their knee to Baal. He began to he gave assignment to Elijah, instructions to him. You're going to go anoint this king, and then you're going to anoint this king, and then you're going to find this guy named Elisha that's going to be your protege, and he's going to take your place, and I've got some things that you need to do. And you're going to have a big part in the big picture of this whole thing, of this master redemption plan I've got in place. God began to speak to him. But notice this point. Earth, wind, and fire. Come on, where's my 70s people? Are y'all out there? God did that, right? Earth, wind, and fire. He was not in it. It was interesting. God wasn't in the remarkable. Listen, he was in the ordinary. God was in the whisper. I mean, when I'm overwhelmed with stress and I'm in this place and I'm overcome with anxiety, why is it that God's voice seems to be so quiet? Why does he speak in the spectacular and the powerful ways? If he wants me to know him, if he wants me to experience him, if he wants me to trust him, why does he whisper? Why does he whisper? He whispers because, let me give it to you, because he's always close. He's always close. He whispers because he's close. He doesn't have to yell because he's up and he's some mystical thing way up in the heavens, far removed, and he's yelling down to us on earth. He whispers because he's close. Come here, Kim. When we're going through something, and we don't know what we're going to do, and it seems like there's no answers anywhere, and we've been at it a long time, and you're discouraged, and you're wondering, what am I going to do? Be still, because, listen, he's whispering, because it's close. Have you ever had somebody whisper, and you say, what? What did you say? What did you say? I said, what? What? What do you do when you can't hear them? You get closer and say, I'm trying to tell you something. I'm with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll always be with you. I'm always by your side. You have nothing to worry about. If God is for you, who can be against you? You're going to make it. I'm with you. Greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. Come on, everybody. He's closer. He's close. He's close. He's close. Thank you. He's close. The devil shouts lies, but God whispers truth. God speaks truth by not shouting louder. He's calling me closer, saying, I'm with you. And when you're afraid and when you're isolated and when you're alone and you don't know what to do, you get close. When there's a storm that comes through the house when the kids are little, what do? They run and get mom and dad's bed. Hold me close. hold me close. I got to get closer. I love my mom and dad's bed. I still love my mom and dad's bed. I go to Florida, they got a king-size bed. I get up there running with them. Hey, and my dad said, would you go to bed and go to sleep? I just want to hang out with y'all. Y'all think I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. And my dad, you know, I'd get up when I was little, I'd get up on his bed, and I'd want to lay there with him. And because I was restless, you know, and I'd move a lot. And dad said, be still. Would you be still? You're rocking the bed. Be still. You're making me seasick. Get either be still or go to your bed, you know. And that's what we do. We're restless. We're restless. And God's saying, it's okay. You can get close, but be still. Trust me. Get close. Get close. Get close. Looks into this verse. Psalm 34 and 18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He hasn't left you. He's right there. And he saves those who are crushed in spirit. I gave you this one last week. I got to give it to you again. Psalm 139 says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me. If I leave my family and I'm in another city with people I've never met, I'm going to campus and I'm in a culture that maybe not be necessarily comfortable for me. Guess what? He's there. He's there. He's there in the dormitory. He's there in the apartment. He's there when you're walking down the hall when everybody's going crazy and doing stupid stuff. He's there with you. He's holding your hand. He's guiding you. He's with you. He said, I'll never leave you. The most comforting verse is he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm not going to abandon you. Everybody else may abandon you and reject you and put you down and condemn you and just give up on you. God said, that's not me. I will never, ever leave you. I will always be with you. Just stay close to me. Just stay close to me. He said, I'm with you. I'm with you. I tell you, I'd rather be in the wilderness with God than on the mountaintop without him. Amen. Your deepest need becomes a gift when it drives you to depend on God. So really, it's a great place to experience his presence is in the wilderness. I just want to drive to a city where there's action, where there's something happening. I'm going to go somewhere where it's hopping and popping. I got to get where there's some life. Can I tell you, in the wilderness, there's life because his presence is there. And in his presence, you'll discover life. You'll discover he's all you need. He'll feed you. He'll make a stream in the desert. He'll make a way in the wilderness. Come on. He'll do amazing things in your life because he's all that you need. Can I just share this with you? Israel, when God brought them out of Egypt, where there was all these provisions, man. And God said, let them go. Let my people go so that they may worship me. Come on. Now, we always talk about the place, their destiny was the promised land, Canaan. But look at this. If you look at it geographically, where God took them was not in the direction of the promised land. He took them in an opposite direction. It was to the mountaintop, right? And it was to that place, the Mount of God there. But they found themselves in a wilderness experience, but they were pulled away from all the distractions. But the goal was not the stuff. It was not the stuff. The goal was him. And God revealed himself in the wilderness experience. God revealed himself that he is the one that brings water out of a rock. God revealed himself that he's the one that will cause manna to fall down from heaven and feed them. That God revealed himself in that place, that he is with them even in that wilderness experience. Write this down. You may enjoy God on the mountaintops, but we experience the closeness of his presence in the wilderness. He's all you need. I was meditating on this week. God laid a scripture on my heart that really, really hit me. Because you see, sometimes, you know, we can endure a valley for a little bit, but a wilderness, sometimes it's a longer duration. How long? I don't know. But God's doing something in the wilderness. And here's what I do know. Regardless of how long, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. You know why it doesn't matter? Because He's there. Because He's with us. Because I've got everything that I need. But I want to see results. I want to see this. I got something I'm praying about. I've been praying about a long time. I'm praying about a healing, or I'm praying about my finances, or praying about my family or relationship. And I've been praying a long time, and I'm about ready to give up. Listen, God never gives up on you. Well, I want to see some fruit. I want to see some results. I got to see something happen. How can you just, Pastor, how can you just go through something so long and not see some results? Doesn't that say something to you? Doesn't that, shouldn't you, I mean, how long is it before you just say, well, enough is enough. I just got to go run off somewhere else. God, I know God gave me this scripture this week. I believe it's not just for me, but I believe it's for this church. It's found in Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. That says this, though the fig tree does not bud. And this was from a guy who'd been praying for God to do something. God, where are you? Send a revival. God, do something. Revive me. Why aren't you responding, God? And God spoke to him through a burden, through a prayer, and then a vision. But here's what he discovered at the end of all this. He said, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine. I'm just not getting any answers here, God. It feels like a wilderness. Though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food. I mean, I'm not, nothing there, God. Though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have the provision I need, God. I don't have enough money to make it to the end of the month. What am I going to do? Yet, look at this, yet I will rejoice in the Lord and I will be joyful in God my Savior. It goes on to talk about He makes me to skip like, I mean, it gets in real, paints a picture of how God just calls me to skip on hind's feet. I mean, God just gives me joy in the midst of it all. I have joy no matter what. The Lord is the source of our joy and our strength. Somebody needs that scripture today. No matter how long it's been, here's what I know. Job had been serving God, and yet he went through all what he went through, and it wasn't just one day of having a bad day. It was a long time that he endured a lot of hardship, and he had a lot of questions. But Job, in the midst of that, learned about the faithfulness of God. It was a couple weeks ago, Josh's parents were here from New Jersey, and I spoke to his father who had a stroke 9 months ago. And the parents looked at me with tears in their eyes after church and said, God is faithful. When you go through something, you discover that God is faithful. He wants to get us close to Him. You've gone through some stuff. You're going through some stuff. Get close to God and you'll hear Him speaking to you. I want to sing a song. I'll end a little bit different today. And I don't know if you know this song or not, but I just want to worship. I just want to take a moment to worship. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, His name is called Emmanuel, God with us. His name is called.
name is called Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us, His name. As close as the mention of His name, Jesus, Jesus. He's as close as the mention of His name, Jesus.
He's as close. All you got is whisper His name. He's right there. Come on, sing it with me.
He's as close as the mention of His name.
Say it.
Jesus, Jesus. He's as close as the mention of His name. Jesus. He's as close as the mention of His name.
Come on, somebody speak His name. Jesus. Oh, yes.
Jesus. Jesus. He's as close as the mention of His name. Jesus. Jesus. Emmanuel.
That's His name.
Emmanuel. His name is called Emmanuel.
Come on, stand with me, worship.
God with us, revealed in us, His name is called Emmanuel.
Come on, one more time. Can we worship together? Come on, worship.
Emmanuel.
Whatever our needs are,
God with us, revealed in us, His name is called
Emmanuel. Bow your heads with me this morning. Another reason that He whispers is He wants to be close enough to be in relationship with you. He wants a relationship, a close, intimate, personal, authentic, vibrant relationship with you. He's not just an idea or a principle or a set of rules on a wall. He is a person. Person of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who desires a personal relationship with you. I just want to give an opportunity today, if you don't have that, or you're not sure if you have that personal relationship with Him, I want to allow you that opportunity today. I want to help you have that, begin that conversation with God to say, God, I want to make sure I want to have a personal relationship with you. I want to pray with you right where you are. I'm not going to have you come to the front, but I just want to pray with you. But if that's you today, my heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Say, Pastor, would you pray this prayer right now? Would you count me in that prayer? I just want to know who I'm praying with. Would you just slip up a hand real quick and you can put it right back down? God bless you. Awesome. Just be bold. Just put it up. Right back down. Yes. Good job. I want to pray with you. And if you're watching online, would you join us as well if you need to pray this prayer? Can I invite everybody in this house to pray this with me out loud? Come on, for support. Can we just pray something like this? Thank you, God, for loving me so much that you sent your son Jesus so that I could have relationship with you. Thank you, God, for taking care of the sin issue, for paying for it through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, who died and paid my debt and rose again and is coming again. I want a personal relationship with you, God. So today I turn my life over to you. I ask you to come inside and make me brand new. I give you my life. I surrender my life to you. I accept you now. And let's say it the Bible way. I declare you as Lord of my life. And with all my heart, I'll follow you as you help me. Thank you, God, for new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give him praise in this house. Thank you, Lord. 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 Now, Lord, I pray for those that may feel like they're in that wilderness to know that you're with them and that you'll never leave them. You'll never forsake them. Thank you, Lord, for your peace. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for nourishment. Thank you for renewal. Thank you for life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.